Well, it's always good to be here and to see you. You know, I love Jewish humor. Now, that might be because I'm Jewish, but Jewish humor is quite interesting. There's a story of a Jewish young man who came home from university, and he said to his Orthodox father, "I've become a Christian." "Oy vey," said the father, "I better go to the rabbi and get some advice." He says to the rabbi, he says, "My son came back from the university and he says he's a Christian." The rabbi said, "Funny that you'd say that. My son also came back from the university and said he was a Christian. We better pray about this. We need some advice from heaven." And so he prayed, "Lord, King of the universe, our sons have become Christians. What can we do?" And God answered them and said, "It's funny that you said that, because my son You know, one of the questions that I'm asked most of the time is, why do I have to believe in Jesus? Why can't I go directly to God? So we're going to deal with that issue. I would like to have you listen to Hebrews 1, verse 1-4. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, and being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, this is an astounding statement, and I want to assure you that this is substantiated by the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. I'll give you a couple of references. The Jewish prophet predicted of the Messiah's pre-existence before his birth in Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel," now listen, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So when Yeshua made an astonishing statement in John 6:51, he offended the Pharisees, Sadducees, and even some of his early disciples could not take it. They left him. Here's what he said: "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." See, Bethlehem, the name of the town, was a prophetic name. It means a house of bread. And so he said, "I've come down from heaven." Now, let me give you another reference from the Jewish prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gabor." Whoa! This is a Jewish prophet talking, that this child that's to be born, that this son is to be given, is going to be called El Gabor. And not only that, he is called the Everlasting Father, Aviad, which could be translated as the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace, Hasar Shalom. And this is quite obviously the Messianic prophecy, because in the very next verse, it talks of him sitting or reestablishing the throne of David forever. Now, all through the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, we read of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came, saying to Moses, to the prophets, who is the word of the Lord? It's a person. And John, of course, explained, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The word was there. As I study for this message, I discovered that Yeshua, in his pre-existence, his eternity, he had another title in Genesis 3:8. And Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, many of the new translations, the translators found this was kind of difficult. How do you hear a voice walking? And so they, in order to make it more understandable, said, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking. However, the word kol in Hebrew is used 507 times in the Hebrew Bible and translated mostly, overwhelmingly, voice. And even in where they changed the word to sound or thunder, it could be voice. There's no question about it. So I believe, this was a great insight to me, that it was speaking of a person, Kol Adonai Elohim. And what it says here is that this Yeshua, this Messiah, was in the Garden of Eden. See, no one has seen the Father at any time, no man, according to Scripture. But this is the Son of God, who is the voice of the Lord God, who is the Word of God. And he called out and he said, Adam, where are you? Well, he's still calling us. Sammy, where are you? Miriam, where are you? Now, will you answer like Adam? Like, listen to how Adam answered. So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. The idea of being ashamed. Are you hiding from God because you're afraid of him? Because you know he's a holy God, a mighty God, and you feel so unholy. Well, I have great news for you. We do not have to hide from God, from the voice of the Lord God, because he has good intention. And I want to share three reasons why we should heed to the voice of the Lord our God. First, because he is calling to save us. Wow, that's a wonderful. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. Secondly, because God is calling us to sanctify us, to transform us, to make us holy, not to destroy us. And thirdly, God is calling us to strengthen us, to give us strength, to empower us. So God is calling to save us. Now, God does this individually. God has sent his Holy Spirit into the world. And by the way, the idea of the Holy Spirit is not something invented by the New Testament. You read of God's Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Holiness. You read about him even in the first chapter of Genesis, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So we're not talking of some new creation. And he has come in order to enlighten us. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we're told, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. I remember the day when I was 14 years old. I had this experience. Our faith isn't just something in the ancient past of the biblical narrative, but we are serving the living God. I was sitting, listening to a message, and suddenly it all opened up to me that I was a sinner, and I mean, I was not a murderer or a criminal, but God showed me that I was imperfect and that I was lost. And that if I died that night without the Messiah, without Yeshua, I'd go to Gehenna, I'd go to hell, I'd go to a terrible place. But then the Lord showed me something about Yeshua, that he is God's eternal Son, that he is born of a virgin according to, well, Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. As I sat there, I became aware, enlightened, that he was without sin. And when he died on the cross, he died as my sin substitute. He became sin for me, that who he knew no sin. He was sinless. And then he was buried, and the third day God raised him from the dead, and that he ascended to heaven, that he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And I realized that I was spiritually bankrupt. I couldn't say to God, well, because I'm so good, you're obligated to save me. I couldn't even contribute 10% to my salvation. I was bankrupt, and I could not do it. And so on the basis of that insight that I know was an encounter with God, I accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior and had peace. So God does deal individually with people. In fact, the psalmist said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But God has issued a universal invitation to all of humanity. Listen to 1 Timothy 2:3. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved. And the word men in the Greek, anthropos, is speaking of humanity, or women as well as men. So you women are included into this. To be saved, he desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not just personally about me or personally about you, but it is an invitation to the whole world. And so I always enjoy reading about people who discovered what I discovered, who experienced what I experienced. Charles Spurgeon shared his experience. And he talked about this one stormy night in 1850. So this experience of the Spirit is down through the ages. He was deeply troubled about his spiritual life, and he wanted to go to church, but he found because of the storm, because of the snow and the wind, he could not make it. So he decided that he would go to one close by. He'd never been there before. And he heard that it was a Methodist chapel. And he was an Anglican at the time. And he also was told that they sang so loudly that people's heads would ache. But he said, I wanted to know how to be saved. And so if they made my head ache, I didn't care about that. Well, when he got there, he was practically the only person in the sanctuary because of the storm. He sat there, and the pastor didn't show up. But one of the laymen showed up, and the layman decided he'd preach. So he got up. He quoted from the Old Testament, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. And then he said, it looked like he was just looking at me. And he said, young man, you are in trouble. Spurgeon wrote later, yes, I was in plenty of trouble. And he said, you'll never get out of it unless you look to Jesus. And then he said he started to shout, as only a Methodist layman could shout, look, 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 only look. And he said, I looked to Jesus, and I received the joy of my salvation. Now, the New Testament is harmonious with the Old Testament, and God wants us to look to Jesus. In John 3:14-15, we're told about that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You remember the story in the Torah? In Numbers 21? The children of Israel were complaining. They were complainers. And they were speaking against God and against Moses. They said, why did they bring us out of Egypt? They forgot they were slaves. They forgot how hard and how miserable they were treated. But they kept murmuring for 10 different times. And God was provoked by that. And so he sent a punishment. He sent poisonous serpents among them, and they were being bitten and many were dying. But then, of course, the children of Israel, once God dealt with them severely, they wanted to repent, and so they acknowledged that they had done wrong to complain against God and Moses. And God said to Moses, interesting that he said this, because there are types in the Old Testament that refers to the Lord, Yeshua. He said, make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up, and tell the people, all that will look at that brass, that bronze serpent, will be healed. And those that looked were healed. Those who refused to look, who said this doesn't make any sense, and did not look, they died. Now Yeshua said he had to be, he must be lifted up. And he was lifted up on the cross. And he said that because of that, he will draw all people unto himself, all kinds of people. And so since he was willing to suffer for us like that, he became the very image of our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took upon himself our curse. He suffered the wrath of God for us. And because of that, it doesn't matter what nation you're from, whether you're Jewish, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're a barbarian, or wherever you come from, if you look to Jesus in faith, you will be given eternal life. So God is calling us not to condemn us, but to save us. Secondly, we should listen because God is calling us to sanctify us. When we come into salvation, we come like we are, sinners, imperfect, and God then begins changing us. We call that the process of sanctification. Listen to the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The biggest change I had when I was 14 is that I had a longing to please God. I wanted to please him more than I wanted to please myself. And I didn't know exactly what God's will was at all times. But then Psalm 23 speaks to us. The Lord is our shepherd. He restores our soul and he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, once we become believers, then we bear his name. And if we misbehave, we bring a bad reputation to our Lord unjustly. And so he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, I was a believer just for a short time, and I had my first conflict with my father over the issue. I didn't know what to do. Should I obey my heavenly father and not obey my earthly father? Now, the conflict came to a climax because my pastor finally gave me a Bible. I kept begging him for a Bible. He gave me an old torn Bible that someone had left there at the church. And the print was very small, and I'm nearsighted, so I had to squint to see it. But when my dad and mother were out of the house, I would take it from my hiding place, because if they found it, they'd throw it out. And I would sit on the couch and I'd read it. I enjoyed it. It was opening up to me. Amazing as God was revealing truth to me. But my father said, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I want you to come and help me carry groceries home. Now it was getting toward 2. My dad was at the store. And I thought, well, I better go. And then I went to the door and I said, wait a minute. He's my earthly father. Now I have a heavenly father. So do I have to obey my earthly father? I didn't know. And then I'd walk towards the couch to read my Bible. I said, Lord, I don't know. It's the only time in my life that God spoke to me audibly. God said to me, go thy way and help thy father. I was a little concerned about go thy way, because I wasn't used to old English. But I realized he wasn't sending me away from him, but that was the God of the Bible spoke to me. So I told my pastor about this, and he looked at me with suspicion. He felt maybe I was hearing voices. But he said, well, that's according to Scripture, because the Scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. I said, okay, that's the principle I learned. That if my insight is not in accordance with written Scripture, then I can disregard it. But if it is according to written Scripture, then I should follow it. So I said, if God wants me to honor my father and mother, then I'm going to be a good son. I was only 14, but my mother worked at a factory and my dad was out of the house most of the time. And I said, okay, I'm going to clean the apartment. No complaint. I'm going to scrub the floors. I'm going to clean the apartment. And I'm going to shop for the food and I'm going to make dinner every night, which I did. Because that's what God wanted me to do, to be a good, obedient son, honor my father and mother. Well, on one occasion, my father was giving out an allowance, not a whole lot. We were happy for a nickel in those days. He gave some money to Florence, my sister, and to Louise, my other sister. And he said, I'm not giving you money because you're going to give it to the church. And I said, wait a minute, Dad. Look, I clean the house. I shop for the food. I make the dinner every night. And they don't lift a finger to help me. I don't think this is fair. So he gave me the money and a little extra as well. Because I wanted him to know that I am trying to obey the Lord. Now, I haven't heard an audible voice since then, but there are times that God has spoken to me in an inaudible but an unmistakable voice. Sometimes it's through reading the Bible. A verse just comes alive. And God says, this is yours. This, I'm speaking to you. Sometimes I listen to a sermon and God speaks to me about something. Sometimes a godly friend will give me advice. And there are even times I might be listening to radio and the secular person is talking, but what he says is actually the answer to my question. But I sense God is in it. And God does lead us, for which I am very grateful. And sometimes just an insight of wisdom God gives me. Now in this life, God is sanctifying us. There's a process going on. We're not yet perfect, but the day will come when this will all be complete. The Apostle Paul, who had been known as Saul, Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, wrote this to Timothy, one of his disciples. Finally, because he knew he was going to die soon, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. He's going to crown me with righteousness. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see, that will be a completion, that he will crown us with righteousness. So God has promised that we will be presented to God faultless, perfect. And he'll do it, because the Lord, he is our righteousness. Well, thirdly, we should follow God's call, because he's calling us to strengthen us. Did you know that God has a specific plan for each and every one of us, a life's plan? God spoke through Jeremiah, the Jewish prophet, in chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Do you know God's plan for your life? In fact, he said, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Now, how could we, frail, imperfect creatures, fulfill God's plan for our life? You know, as you get older, you realize how your body starts breaking down. I have lots of friends who are gone, or who have Alzheimer's, or who are walking around with a cane, and realize how frail we are. Well, God has made a promise in Isaiah 40, verse 29, that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So once you discover God's plan and you say, yes, that's what I want to accept. I want to live in his plan. Then he will empower you to fulfill that plan for your life. The Apostle Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And do you know how to tap into his strength, into his grace, into his wisdom? You ever wake up in the day and you feel all downhearted, and have you ever said, Lord, I need to go today on your strength and on your grace, and by faith, accept what he offers you? As a new believer, I wanted to be a preacher, a pastor. But I had flunked out of high school. I didn't pass any of the grades. And I suppose one of the reasons I had gone to elementary school in a site conservation class. They used to have the idea that you could conserve your vision. So I had poor vision, and they put me in this class. Now, I didn't have any homework. And if I said to the teacher, I'm tired, my eyes tired, she'd say, well, don't read, don't study now, conserve your eyes. Which later, they discovered this is wrong. It doesn't work that way. Your eyes are a muscle, they need exercise. So when I got to high school, I didn't have a good preparation. I didn't learn grammar at all. I mean, I just could get out of any kind of study I wanted. And I flunked. Yet I wanted to be a pastor, and the counselor at high school asked me, what do you want to do? Because I was only there 1 year and I flunked all the subjects. I said, I want to be a pastor. And she had pity on me. She said, that's too bad. Good people don't always come out right. So I got a job in a candy factory, and I've told you this before, but it's worth repeating. And the owner made these cheap chocolates, but he found out that you could polish them with a soft brush, and I was a chocolate polisher. And at first he let me eat all the chocolates I wanted, so I got sick of them, you know? So I don't like this. I'm polishing these chocolates as they go by, and I said, there's no future for me in this. And God spoke to me. I heard it, not audibly, but, you know, I knew he said what he did. You cannot serve me without an education. I said, well, Lord, you know I failed school. I don't know if I could do it. But I had faith in the Lord. And said, I will make every effort to get back into school, and you have to open the door. Well, the door was open in Georgia. I'm from New York City, Brooklyn, about 800 miles away. And I could go back and finish my high school and then do college work if I wanted to. And I got accepted. Off I went. I only had enough money for a one-way bus ticket and enroll in the school. And I did. And lo and behold, at the end of 6 weeks, my report card came out and I had honor grades. Now, God did something up here. See, and I want you to know, God will never ask you to do anything you can't do. But he may, and if he does, he'll give you the ability to do it. Now, a lot of people sent me with their blessing, and they said, we'll remember to pray for you, but they never sent any money. So after 6 weeks, I said, I got to get some money to stay in school. So I went to see the principal, Kelly Barnes. I said to Kelly Barnes, I need a job. He said, we have work scholarships, but they're all given out and there's none left. And I said, I have no money. What should I do? He said, well, you should go home. And I didn't want to go home because I'm telling everyone God's leading me. So I said, I don't want to go home. And he said, why not? And I don't know why I said this. I said, well, I'm a Hebrew Christian. It popped out. I didn't even think of saying that. And he got very excited. He said, well, let me tell you something. Last night, I was really tired. I went home, and I was falling asleep. A verse woke me up. I will bless them that bless thee. He said, and I turned, and I fell asleep again. But just as I was going off, dozing, that verse woke me up again. He said, I did not get any sleep last night. Because that verse that God said to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, kept me up all night. And he got excited. And he said, I know now what God was doing. He's preparing me. If I bless you, a son of Abraham, God's going to bless me. So I'm going to give you a job. So I remember getting into his red Ford. We went down to the barn because they had their own farm. He left me there in the barnyard. I hated the atmosphere, smelly, you know. And I never saw a live cow before. And they were big creatures. And I'm really a little frightened of them because I thought if they only knew how big they were, I might be in trouble. So I said to a farm boy, he was asked to take care of me and help me. I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you all milk the cows. I said, how do you milk a cow? He said, well, let me show you. He was very accommodating, put a pail under a cow and that was in the barn. He handed me the tail and he said, pump the tail. And I was going to do that and the head farmer walked in and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm milking the cow. He said, you go back to Kelly Barnes. And he gave me a note to Kelly Barnes. He said, you get killed down here, you know. And Kelly Barnes laughed, you know. He had such a big-time country boy from Georgia, you know. And he said, oh, he said, you know, God's going to have to bless me twice as much because somebody's got to help you. And so he was a friend and I was able to not only finish high school, go on to college and seminary and do some graduate work. But it's like scripture, isn't it? I mean, God did that for me. God kept Kelly Barnes awake all night and sharing this verse with him. He thought he was going crazy. But God was saying, I will bless them that bless thee. And then when he talked to me, he realized God had prepared him to help me. Now, I'm saying that because it's not, I don't want you to think that just happens to me. If you'll trust God, say, Lord, it's not what I want to be. What do you want me to be? Now, I could never have been a pastor if I had not gotten my education. God knew that. Thank God he provided. He's even provided in my old age. When you walk with the Lord, you will discover how faithful he really is. Now, in conclusion, I want to help you to understand that God will not force his love on you. He will not force his will on you. You must decide. And that's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, because there's a moment in the life of a person, a divine moment, an encounter with God, when God reveals himself and he knows, well, if God speaks to you, if God speaks to you today, don't harden your heart. If you say no, you might say, no, I can't believe that. I'm a Jew. Or, no, I can't believe that. I'm a Hindu or whatever. You don't harden your heart. And you can do that if you want. Some years ago, I led a Jewish young man to the Lord, and his mother became interested in my Bible study, so she came every week. And one day, Elaine said to me, you know, I really can see what you say is true. I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. I believe he's the Son of God. I said, great. Elaine, let's pray right now, and I want you to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, not ready. I want my husband to come. I'm going to wait for him. I said, well, don't put it off. No, I'm going to wait for him. So she went and told her husband that she wanted to put her faith in Yeshua. And he said to her, and he threatened her, he said, if you believe in Jesus, I'm going to divorce you. And she backed down. In fact, she backed down. And all that insight and that enlightenment was gone, like she went into darkness. And she became hostile to the faith, tried to get her son out of being a believer. But what Elaine did not know, God knew, her husband was having an affair with one of their sales girls. They owned a dress shop. And he had already planned to divorce Elaine anyway. But this would have given him an excuse with his families, with her family. Oh, look, she's become a fanatic, right? But he was going to divorce her anyway, which he did. So sometime later, I met her son. He was a pastor. And I said, how's your mother, Elaine? Well, he told me the story. And he said, she's a very unhappy woman. And her husband left her, deserted her. And she's living with a man and not married. And I thought, that would not be her. Now, God wasn't punishing her. God was not bringing calamity upon her life. But he knew what she was going to face. And he wanted to be there for her. He wanted to comfort her. He wanted to restore her life. I believe that with all my heart. So today, if you hear his voice, not necessarily an audible voice, but it's just, you know that God has opened your mind. And yes, you understand this. Then respond. Say, Lord, I accept. This is true. And not only that, but then the joy of your salvation will come. And you'll know the Lord has really done a work in your heart. Well, I can't give a message like that without giving you an opportunity to respond. So let's bow our heads humbly before God. Close our eyes. I want you to listen and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to know. And if you have not received Him as your Lord and Savior, and you might think you have, but if God is letting you know that this is the moment that He's calling you into His family, then I want you to say yes. I want you to say, I'll trust you, Lord, because I know you want to save me and not condemn me. I know you want to sanctify me, make me the person I should be. And I know that you will strengthen me and empower me to fulfill your plan for my life. If you're willing to take that step of faith now, I want you to indicate it. I want you to put up your hand high up so I can see. No one else is looking, hopefully. I just want to see. Say, yes, Lord, I hear you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior this very day, to the best of my knowledge. Okay, the Lord knows who you are. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who love you that are here. And we just pray, Lord, that you might just reaffirm the reality of Jesus in our hearts. We pray in His name. Amen. By the way, you notice that I have a little bit of an evangelistic streak in my heart. So if you have a non-Christian friend and you know I'm going to be here, you bring him. You invite him to come. I think you might say, well, this person wouldn't be interested. They might be if you take them out to lunch afterward or something. But you're a great group. I'm really glad that you let me come and praise the Lord. So we're going to have a song, right?